Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3. Influence with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Is Singapore one of the world's most pleasant cities to live in? Well, not if you're looking at the Economist Intelligence Unit's Global Livability Index for 2019, and you're looking at number one, because that's not the spot Singapore is in. London, New York, and Singapore didn't fare quite so well in a survey of the world's most pleasant cities in the world to live in. Singapore at 40th spot, behind Hong Kong at 38th place, still ahead of big cities like London at number 48. New York has taken place number 58. What was number one, you ask? Well, those honors went to Vienna, top spot, and it took the top spot for 2 years in a row so far, scoring almost perfectly, 99.1 out of 100 for the index's prime position. The EIU's Worldwide Cost of Living report also showed that Singapore is the world's most expensive city for the fifth year in a row. So to break down the findings with me now is Pamela Chu, director of the Economist Corporate Network Southeast Asia. Good to have you with us, Pamela. Singapore.
Good morning.
Singapore slipped three places to 40th spot in the EIU's Global Livability Index, behind Hong Kong, ahead of London and New York, though. We also note Singapore is the world's most expensive city for the fifth year in a row. So, Pamela, how significant is cost of living a factor affecting livability?
I think those are definitely interconnected. But for our livability index that we've just released the latest edition for yesterday, it takes into account a variety of factors and not just the cost of living. So we have five categories that we look at in our livability index, and that is stability, healthcare, culture and environment, education, and infrastructure. And if you look at, for example, Singapore's rating, we did, you said, 40th on the index, but if you compare our score this year and last year, it's actually remained the same. This is an index, so cities move up and down relative to one another. So it's not as if Singapore did worse this year than it did last year. And if you look at where Singapore fell back a little bit on, it would be certainly on the temperature and the climate. So that's something we can't really change, but it is something that we put into the index, as well as things like culture and censorship. Singapore is a little bit more restrictive on those elements. But related to your question in healthcare, they're on cost of living, there is one part of the index where we look at affordability of healthcare and affordability of education. And in that instance, Singapore does lose a little bit because of affordability of healthcare. And if you're looking at cities all across the world, you're comparing Singapore against many of the Western European countries where, for them, public healthcare is free of charge. So it's really quite a difficult comparison in that sense, but that's what it is.
All right. If we look at financial hubs, Singapore, Hong Kong, London, New York, all don't seem to be faring quite as well in your ranking. And for the second year running, though, Vienna has once again taken top spot. What is Vienna doing right?
So yes, you mentioned Vienna scored almost the perfect score. You know, in all those five categories of indicators, they did very, very well. And in terms of where they maybe lost out a little bit is on petty crime. They have a little bit of a petty crime situation going on there. But, you know, in terms of what you mentioned earlier about the global cities not doing quite so well on the index, that is true. On our index, the mid-sized cities tend to do a little bit better. And if you think about livability, there are many aspects of this, as we talked about. And one of them is congestion and overcrowding. And a lot of Asian cities suffer from that. Singapore, I would say, you know, we're very dense. Not to say that that's naturally really impacting our livability score. But New York, London, for example, they're very huge cities that have very high demands on their infrastructure. And as you saw, infrastructure is one part of the index, as well as things like crime rate and threat of terrorism, which is definitely significantly larger in cities like New York and London, perhaps even Singapore.
It was interesting to see climate change come into the picture. In a big way this year, cities like Cairo have slipped in the rankings because of worsening air pollution. Can you share how significant climate change is affecting the place of cities in terms of this livability index?
So absolutely. Climate change is a phenomenon that all cities are adapting to. It is impacting the way that we have to now respond to extreme weather conditions, whether it's flooding, or whether it's drought, or whether it's hurricanes. But it is critical that cities are well equipped to deal with those challenges. So, for example, if you look at the only movement that we had in the top 10 this year, that would be Sydney. Sydney moved from the 5th place to the 3rd place. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they did so because their steps that they've been taking in order to help them become more resilient to climate change. They have a sustainable program in Sydney going on that they've just released and they're acting on. So climate change, yes, it is in some ways negative, but in some ways it can be positive in terms of how you rank on the index, because if you're showing really good steps, solid steps that you're taking to overcome climate change or mitigate climate change, that will help you vis-a-vis other cities. An example would be India. So India, as we pointed out in our report, falls down slightly because of the quality of air. Its air quality has deteriorated significantly in India, and that is a result of climate change, but it's also a result of human input into that problem, with not being able to use the right sort of mix of greenhouse gases and emitting a lot of that, which affects the environment for people who are living there and definitely makes their life a little bit less ideal.
I'm with Pamela Chu, director of the Economist Corporate Network Southeast Asia, taking a closer look at the world's most livable cities. Let's move now to the safest cities in the world. EIU also has released its Safe Cities Index recently, and that ranks 60 countries across 5 continents, and it looks at more than 50 qualitative and quantitative indicators for categories of security. So you're looking at digital infrastructure, health, personal aspects of security as well. Well, great to see Singapore's retain its position as the world's second safest city after Tokyo. Pam, what is it going to take for Singapore to finally clinch that top spot and maybe overtake Tokyo?
Well, I think the differences are very, very little. So we wouldn't really worry too much about it. For Singaporeans, we hate to be not the top spot.
Exactly.
The differences in many of those index are very small. And the concept of urban safety really is multifaceted. I wouldn't say there is one sort of silver bullet that would rise us to the top. In fact, you know, the pillars that you talked about, the digital infrastructure, health and personal security pillars, those can be also interconnected to each other. If you think about digital, for example, cyber attack, that influences as well your personal sense of security if you feel that your money, your finances are being perhaps compromised if you're a target of a phishing attack, for example. So in this latest edition of the index that we released this year, we definitely took this into account. And what we did was, rather than create a fifth distinct pillar of how's the system adapting or how's the system responding to different types of threats, what we did was we now measure new areas within these other four particular reference points in those four pillars and look at resilience as a whole. So to answer your question, really, you know, there isn't one silver bullet again. And we see it as a systemic sort of resilient mechanism for safety of cities and for people in those cities.
Well, good to know the differences between us and Tokyo are very small, and there's hope for reclaiming that top spot. If we move to...
Never give up.
If we move to Hong Kong, though, it has seen a huge drop. It was placed number 10, and now it's number 20. And all this slip in rankings happening before the ongoing protests happen. What contributed to Hong Kong's fall?
I alluded earlier that in this edition of the Safe Cities Index, we have incorporated a new dimension to it, this idea of resilience and picking out different factors within those four pillars. So we have put in more indicators in this year's ranking. Mm-hmm. So what we like to point out too is that direct year-on-year comparisons are not quite like-for-like. So the things that went into this year's index are slightly different from the ones that went into last year's index. So the ratings might differ because of that. In fact, Hong Kong does, I guess, is one of those cases where it does affect it, is this new methodology. Hong Kong fared less well, for example, this year in the category of digital security because we added another indicator on local malware threats. With this set of new data, Hong Kong then fell a little bit in that pillar of digital security. Its ranking for infrastructure security also suffered a little bit because of it. Well, I guess what would be evaluated as is less able to adapt to or manage climate change and disaster risk vis-a-vis other countries who are really, really trying very hard and really putting all their heads together to do this. Singapore included has, for example, in the latest PMO speech at National Day, focused a lot on managing and mitigating disaster and climate change risk. And so since many other cities and countries are doing this, in some sense, it's a relative ranking of Hong Kong's response to it.
How have Asian countries fared as a whole? I understand six cities in APEC moved to the top 10 this year, four from within an Asian country, Tokyo, Singapore, Osaka, Seoul. So how have Asian countries fared as a whole compared to other regions in terms of safety?
Populous, if I do kind of structurally, APEC cities have performed very well in the domain of health security. Those four cities that you mentioned, Tokyo, Osaka, Singapore, Seoul, they all rank in the top 10 cities in terms of health security. If you look across different regions, a lot of the APEC cities do quite well in personal security as well. When you look at North America, for example, there is different type of regulation towards gun control, which is a lot more restrictive here in Asia, generally speaking. And so other things like, you know, that, you know, disaster resilience, you know, law enforcement in Western Europe and in North America are different regimes compared to the ones that we have built up here in Asia. And we have assessed them in our index for the Asia cities to have come up quite strongly in the personal security as well as the health security segments.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Pamela. Pamela Chu, the director of the Economist Corporate Network Southeast Asia, telling us more about the Economist Intelligence Unit's Global Livability Index and also its Safe Cities Index. So it looks like Vienna, which is number one, simply has to work on petty crime to get to that. It's already at almost perfect. So just petty crime standing in the way of getting a perfect score for Vienna. Singapore at number 40.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.